I used to just go with whatever meat looked good or was on sale at the grocery store. But now that I've experienced the exceptional quality, flavor, and convenience that you can get from Omaha Steaks, I'm never going back. They can build a custom food plan based on your schedule, which means less food waste and stocking up on high-quality proteins to always have on hand. With Omaha Steaks in your freezer, you're always just minutes away from a quality dinner, whether it's Taco Tuesday or a weekend feast. Taste the Omaha Steaks difference and never settle for grocery proteins again. Get flavorful, high-quality proteins delivered by visiting omahasteaks.com, plus $35 off when you use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code YUM. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code YUM at checkout for $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Misunderstood. Thanks for listening every single week. This is your host, Rachel Yucatel. I am so excited about today's guest, MJ. You guys probably know her from Shaws of Sunset, or even more so from being on this season's The Traitors on Peacock. I was obsessed with the show. Everybody's been talking about the show. And even though this is the second season, the first season, I think, was like a little bit of a sleeper, right? And even though it had some great people on it, it wasn't fully celebrity driven. This season was all people in kind of the Bravo sphere, and then also people that were part of CBS and some different game shows. Anyways, if you haven't seen it, go see it on Peacock. But MJ was a standout star from The Traitors. And I found out that I was one degree of separation away from her. I had Mike Shuhead on the podcast a couple months back, and he was kind enough to set us up, and she came right on the show. So I really appreciate that about her, that she was so quick and willing to be on my show. So you guys, I think you're really going to enjoy the conversation. It's so interesting because she tells me how she got on Shaws of Sunset and how she, you know, what it was like to be on the show. And if you haven't seen Shaws of Sunset, she was on it for 10 years and she really, you know, her life really played out on that show. So many deep, meaningful things happened to her. It wasn't just like a storyline that they created for her. She had issues with her parents, I don't even say issues, but you know, she really showed her relationship with her parents. She showed how she met her husband. She showed how she had her baby. She got married on TV. So this woman has really played part of her life out on TV. And I'm, you know, really proud to now, I would call her a friend. So sit back, listen to this episode with MJ. I think you're going to love it. Please make sure that if you haven't already subscribed, that you do so. If you like the show, please give us 5 stars. It means so much. I read every single review you guys give. Anytime you go on Instagram and watch the clips and you make a comment, I always appreciate those. And pass the word on about our show, because that's how people hear of us. And I really appreciate it. So without further ado, my conversation with MJ. MJ, thank you so much for joining me on Misunderstood. I have been obsessed with you for a long time, but now that you are such a hero and I'm such a traitor faithful, I am an even bigger fan. So I'm so happy you're here. Thank you for joining me.
Well, that's amazing, since I didn't even know if I existed in your world. So thank you for that. I love it. I appreciate it.
Oh my God. Why wouldn't you? You exist in everybody's world.
Thank you. For sure now, because this whole Peacock, this whole genre of the elimination challenge shows are like, you know, it's a whole different thing. The Bravo bubble has been broken.
Yeah, actually, I was going to ask you that later, but I'll ask you now. Do you feel a different sense of fame from being on Shaws versus Traitors?
No, I don't think, like, I'm not out in the streets feeling that. I just know demographically that, you know, Bravo is huge enough. I mean, I've felt like you go to an airport whenever you travel around the world. Even when my mom travels, because she travels way more than me, she gets recognized everywhere. She could be in the gondola and hold on. And then she, sorry about that. And she could be in a gondola, and then suddenly she's like, daughter, I got recognized in Italy. And I was like, oh, there we go. So that part of it has always been cool.
Right. I'm sure. That's amazing. Okay. So we know each other. I mean, this is the first time we're meeting, but through our mutual connection, Mike Shuhead, who did my show, which is how I know him. I've stayed friends with him. I'm pretty close to him. He's very funny over text message and we talk often. He was kind enough to get us in touch. So a little shout out to Mike there. Are you still close with him?
I always would like to think that we're close. But you could probably fill in the blanks for me, because like when you said he's really funny in text, I was going to ask you, do you mean like funny haha, or is he like elusive in texts?
No, he's funny haha. And then listen, I don't have a relationship with him where I care if he's elusive or if he disappears. So, you know, but he's very flirtatious, funny, but you know, he's a good boy. So I like Mike. Yeah. I've always liked Mike. I've been, you know, rooting for him, and, you know, we all understand he's had his issues, and, you know, it's nice to see that he's, you know, he's doing life, right? He's trying to hustle and get through. So I appreciate him.
No, he's the biggest sweetheart. I love and adore him. He is very, very funny. Like, haha, very, very funny. And I think flirting is part of his persona. It's like the thing that he enjoys. And I definitely could say there's nobody else in my life like Mike. And when I don't see him often, I miss him a lot.
Oh, yeah. That's sweet. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to start briefly in the background, because I know that you went to Beverly Hills High School and you were there till 1990. You kind of grew up with the rich and famous, right? Like, what was that like to be in the 80s and the 90s in Hollywood?
Well, I actually grew up back east. And then around high school years, like around 9th and 10th grade, my dad was like, should we go to California? And I was literally able to help make or break that choice, that decision. And I was like, okay, let's go to California. So we moved to this like really swanky place, but it was in West Hollywood. So I ended up at Fairfax High School. I walked to school, which was unheard of, because everyone would drive or whatever the chauffeur equivalent was back then. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I hate LA. I want to go back home. Went, lived with my mom, then realized it's too late. I've way outgrown Virginia, which is where I'm from. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, I figured it out. We need to have you in the BH school district. So we're going to move a couple blocks over and you're going to go to Beverly. That is when I saw Persians and I saw Persian graffiti in the bathroom wall. And I knew what a cocaine habit in high school would be and what that would look like, rehab and that whole Drew Barrymore, Guy Osiri, Monica Lewinsky, that era. The younger of the Menendez brothers, like those were that was the thing. I was very much struggling though to make friends. I had probably a whole year of lunch alone and weekends with a brand new BMW drop top with nowhere to go. Because I was being new to Beverly was very lonely. Everybody knew each other. I was new. I didn't know how to make friends. The Persians were very clannish. They wouldn't let me in. And then the others, like, you know, like the white girls, we became friends and we're still close to this day.
Okay. Well, I love hearing that you still have high school friends. That's important.
Yes.
So yeah, it must've been definitely an interesting time. So everyone knows you from Shaw's, as we talked about, but like, how did that come about? Where were you? What were you doing? How did that show fall into your lap?
I'm literally walking down the street, walking my little chihuahuas in the Hollywood Hills, and my cell phone rings and they asked me if I would be interested in a reality show. I was like, why me? How? Mm-hmm. Looking over both shoulders, saying, how would it be me? And they were like, because you're this and you're that. And those things were I was very unapologetically myself, career driven, love to just sell a house and go to Coachella. That was me in a nutshell. I only cared about friends and family and was anti-relationship marriage and anti-having kids. Like, sorry, my kid can hear you, me saying this, but that being Persian in LA was something that they were looking to tap into.
So, but did they find you from your Instagram or were you like applying to things? Like, how did that happen?
I was not applying. I was to anything. I would never even think that something like that would happen to me with me involving me. The way it happened was I was hanging out with people that were like the guy that was developing, his name is Jesse Leed. The guy that was working for Ryan Seacrest, he was in charge of developing a new show. They were looking for the Persian version of the Jersey Shore.
Got it.
And of course we're older than they were. They were like teenagers and we were already in our late 20s, early 30s at the time. So we were like, Reza and I were very established and successful in our careers as real estate agents. And I just happened to socialize with the guy that was looking for the cast, unbeknownst to me. And so he got my number from Sammy, who is our boy Sammy from season one. Not right. Just Sam Nazarian, by the way, which is like another guy that was around in that time. But like that was how it just like literally my phone rang. And then they built it. They met my mom and they met my friends. And then Mike was also referred the same way. Mm-hmm. And then as far as like the Facebook, I do think that they found Asa that way. I do think that they built the rest of the cast from social media. And I think that's very much what they do today. You know, to like find out who your friends are.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Lola V, an award-winning hair care line founded by the one and only Jennifer Aniston. I mean, if I'm going to take advice on my hair, it's going to be from someone with the most iconic hair ever, right? Lola V was born out of the struggle we all face choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for you. Because with Lola V, you get both. If you watch the pod, you know how often I change up my hair, the length, the color, I do it all. So it's important to have products that not only repair the look of damage, but also save my hair from future harm. That's where Lola V's bestsellers come in. The classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner take care of all my needs. And now for our awesome listeners, a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at lolav.com. Just use code UNDERSTOOD at checkout. So I've been using Lola V for maybe a month now. And there's so many things to love about it. First of all, it's naturally derived and plant-based, which means no silicone, sulfates, parabens, and gluten. To top it off, it's cruelty-free and vegan. For me, there's nothing that makes me happier than a little self-care spa moment. And that's what I feel like when I use the in-shower restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. It's the best. I use it every day. It smells amazing and my hair just looks and feels incredible. And believe me, I put it through the ringer. Unlock Jennifer Aniston approved hair at lolav.com. And our loyal listeners, you will get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code UNDERSTOOD at checkout. That's 15% off at lolav.com with promo code UNDERSTOOD. Please note you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Okay, so coming out of the winter months, I always like to do a refresh, so to speak, but I hate the idea of a cleanse that leaves me hungry or trying some trendy fast that ends up leaving me exhausted instead of rejuvenated. I've seen a bunch of people on socials talk about how much they love Prolon, and the more I learn about it, the more I couldn't wait to give it a go myself. If you aren't familiar, Prolon is the revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making cells believe they're fasting. In fact, Prolon is fasting, but with food, which is my kind of fasting. It all starts with Prolon's 5-day program. It's snacks, soups, and beverages that are designed to activate your body's fasting state. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. Prolon isn't some diet trend. It's science. It was researched and developed for decades at University of Southern California Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers. There are so many beliefs. It helps promote healthy blood sugar, supports cardiovascular health, reduced abdominal fat, increased mental clarity and energy, reduced cravings, and improved skin hydration and texture. So this week, while you guys are listening to this ad, I am starting and doing my fast. I'm excited. I'm nervous. I'm looking at the box right in front of me. I don't feel like I'm going to be hungry at all. There is so much that comes in this box. There's so much to be excited about. I can't wait to try these soups. They look good. There's a mushroom one. There's a vegetable one. They have bars, they have teas, they have chocolate crisps and, you know, all sorts of things, crackers and drinks. So, I mean, I can't wait to tell you guys, the following week, how I'm feeling and the effects it had. But it's very exciting. I know so many people have good results. So I can't wait to tell you what mine are. Right now, Prolong is offering Misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Go to prolonglife.com/understood. That's prolonglife.com/understood for this special offer. That's prolonglife.com/understood. Yeah, for sure. So I'm curious about your experience, because with Mike, the way he discussed it with me was that, you know, you guys kind of knew each other. Some of you were closer than others. And, you know, of course, it's supposed to be made to seem like you guys are so close. And then, you know, but I was saying to him, over the course of all these years, you must get very close. And obviously you guys were close, because as you saw through the years, there's fights and tears. And that only comes really when you have feelings for people, when you really are broken up about how things happen, fight, you know, like you can't really act that for the most part. I mean, some people can, but so how was it for you? Did you feel like these people were closer than others? Did you, you know, feel like you guys became a family as you were filming?
Both. So I was genuinely very, very close with Reza. He and I were friends since we were teenagers. He came out to me. Sammy and I were really, really friends. I would see Golnessa at parties, so I didn't really know her, but I knew she actually, it was funny. Long story short, where I didn't have history with Asa, for example, I had never met her before. Sammy had met her, and then so there was a connection. And Mike and Sammy, and Mike and Gigi, and Gigi's sister Layla, they had connections. So the rest of that was chemistry, lightning in a bottle. I took all of those friendships very seriously, and I didn't think it was like creating a TV show. I thought the cameras were just filming what we were doing.
Yeah, right. So now, do you like just kind of an overview of how you feel about that show? I mean, so many people loved it. So many people were upset when it ended. Did you feel like there was more show in you guys, like when it ended, or did you feel like it was really time for it to end?
So I think the way that it ended was right for me, because the last two seasons of Shaw's were really hard. There was this ugly divide that I didn't like being part of. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like, I felt like Mike may have felt like he was in the middle, but it was really me and Mike and Nima and Shervin on one side, and then Reza and Gigi on the other side with the new people that came along at the end, like Destiny. So I tried all year round, in between filming, in between those seasons, between to really like build new bonds, repair what was broken. And they didn't show any interest in doing that with me. And the fallout between me and Reza, my husband and Reza, really was the demise of Shaw's in this season 8 and 9. So yeah, if we were going to keep making that show, I feel like it went too dark and I didn't want to be involved in that. But I did think that we still had a lot of like funny, relatable moments of like relationships and complicated, like, you know, Golnessa and I having kids for the first time in our life is like a totally untapped thing, because you don't really see, you know, the struggle that somebody who had a baby the way she did with sperm donor, and then the way I did with, you know, more traditional way. They all are interesting to watch, and people were super invested in our story all of our, you know, I want to say all of our lives, but for 10 whole years. So yeah, I think we had more show in us. It provided that it would have been more fun, more season 1 through 7 and less 8 and 9.
Right. Sleep is obviously so important, and after running around all day, I cannot wait to get in bed at night and get a good night's sleep, but it's not that easy. Did you know that your temperature at night can have one of the greatest impacts on your sleep quality? If, like me, you wake up too hot or too cold, or you have a hard time getting that cool side of the pillow, you have to check Miracle Made's bed sheet. Inspired by NASA, Miracle Made uses silver-infused fabrics and makes temperature-regulating bedding so you can sleep at the perfect temperature all night long. These sheets have completely changed my sleeping experience. They're super comfortable and luxurious without the huge price tag. It makes me feel spoiled, like I'm sleeping in a five-star hotel. Their self-cooling properties help me get the perfect night's sleep all night long. No more waking up sweating, and I love that the sheets are designed with our skin in mind. They're infused with silver, which prevents up to 99.7% of bacterial growth, so the sheets stay cleaner and fresher for longer. Basically, it helps keep bacteria away from your skin, so no more breakouts. So go to trymiracle.com/understood to try Miracle Made sheets today. And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save over 40%. And if you use our promo code understood at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund. So upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/understood and use the code understood to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/understood to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode. I'm a big believer in taking care of my body and skin. You should be too, whether that means working out, eating right, or using great skincare. We all know self-care can really boost your confidence, and who doesn't want to feel and look great? For me, it all comes down to glowy, hydrated skin, and no one does it better than Osea. Since 1996, Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused skincare. Their face and body products are also vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. And you can get 10% off your first order with code understood at oseamalibu.com. So I'm a little bit of a beauty product hoarder, so I feel like I'm kind of an expert in finding quality stuff. And Osea is the real deal. You should see my bathroom, because I have like all sorts of lotions and face washes and, you know, eye creams and all that stuff. So the Mega Moisture Duo is my secret weapon for when I need that perfect full body glow. And not only do I love it for that, but it feels like it's instantly firming. Living in Florida can be harsh on my skin, but the Undaria Algae Body Oil and the Collagen Body Lotion never let me down. Like, I put the oil in my shower, I use it right before I get out, and then I lather up with the body lotion, and it doesn't make you feel sticky or greasy. I really love it. Show your skin some love with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first site-wide order with code understood at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. So head to Osea, OSEA Malibu.com, and use code understood for 10% off. Again, speaking to Mike, he felt like he got a lot of the brunt of the blame for it ending because of the lot of legal stuff that happened. And but he, you know, insisted that he thought it was going to end regardless, because everybody was having their own, you know, issues with each other. And it kind of was time to end. You shared a ton of stuff while you were on the show. As you just said, you went through a lot. I could go through everything, but people that watch the show really know. But you shared so much. Do you regret any of that? Or do you love that you have all these memories on film?
I don't regret anything from Shaw's. Of course, I would have liked less fighting, more healing. That was not in my control. That was completely in the hands of the people who held those grudges. My husband was one of them. You know, this isn't pointing fingers. This is just my experience toward the end was that I believe in fate. So there was a reason why it had to end. But if you really go back to the beginning of the show and all the things I shared, it was like I spread my legs open without having any idea what my fertility was. And I let the world find out with me if I was fertile, myrtle, or, you know, I don't know, dry as fry. I don't know what those, or Deidre dry. I have no idea how to top that one off. But yeah, so dry as a desert. So
right, that's what they said.
That and body positivity, there was no one else out there who was really comfortable and, let's say, plus size or not skinny. And I was always getting DMs with people that were connecting me with me because I gave them confidence to wear what they wanted, not like be so obsessed about their weight. And that obviously like means so, so much to me because it's about self-love, right? And self-confidence. Yeah. And the other big one was the relationship, the complicated relationship with my mom. So many people were like, oh my God, we went into therapy because of my parents and I would watch. And all of these relationships improved because they had someone on TV to watch and follow going through it. So to take the stigma out of all of the things like egg freezing and fertility and all of those were so new for us. Mm-hmm. Like I even see today, the season of Beverly Hills did something. And I was like watching with my husband and I was like, we did that first. Like we did that, like the ashes, we spread my father's ashes at the sea and the ashes blew and, you know, all over, Reza and me. And I was like, oh my God, that thing that happened with Sutton happened with us first, you know? So, right. Yeah.
So you set the stage for a lot of people, but yes, it is true. You guys did so much, even to the point where you, you know, met your husband online, right? You met him on a dating app. Is that true?
Yep. Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes,
so wait, just as a sidebar, cause I want to get back to some of the things you said, but do you have, tips for some people that are on a dating app for meeting the one? What did you meet on Tinder?
A lot. Yes.
Okay. What are those tips?
Men don't take good pictures, so be easy on the photo. I definitely think the, like what you want to capture in a man should be thoughtfully executed in your photos. Maybe have a couple of other people choose your photos for you.
Okay. Meaning if you want a wholesome family man, you shouldn't post like pictures of your ass or in a bathing suit or something, right?
Right. Okay. And if someone that you love and trust is there helping you create the profile, they'll probably help you in ways that you need in order for your page to like pop off the right way.
Did someone help you create your profile?
I think I'm very good at it. So no. Okay. Yeah. But I mean I think because I had such a great relationship with my dad that I'm, in the category of a very lucky person that was very, I didn't have unhealthy relationship with love and attention. So, I was never, pursuing like the unattainable guy. I didn't care about looks. I cared about a connection. So that is why I do feel like if you trust me and let me help you navigate through your relationship, you'll do better than if you try to go at it alone.
Okay. I love that. But I have a question. Did you know just from talking before you met, like, were you like, this guy's special, this guy's the one, or it took you a couple of dates?
Well, I did FaceTime with other guys and I did have phone conversations. The minute that you hear someone's voice, you may lose all the text chemistry that you had. So you definitely take it to the next tier before you meet in person. You need to hear their voice. You'll know right away if someone's voice sounds off to your chemistry. It's kind of like when you hear about people are really just attracted to each other's scents, the smell, then, the voice is the same. So I would say, I went on a date with one guy who was great on paper, no chemistry. The kiss was like kissing a wall. Mm-hmm. And then Tommy and I were furiously texting back and forth, which was great, but it took him a really long time to ask to see me in person. So, I kind of took my time because I was new to the app, but in the meantime, I had plenty of time to talk to other guys and the other guys were such a dud. Not on text, just like when you would try to call. So yes. You have to call.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been doing online dating forever. And the one thing I like about online dating, I mean, it really reminds me of Love is Blind a little bit in the way that you have the ability to see if someone gives good phone, to see if they're reliable, to see if you have the chemistry. Right. on text and then to move and see if they give good phone, right? To see if, like you said, you can hear their voice. You can see if they kind of banter with you well enough. And I will tend to know before I meet them. Well, at this point in my life, I won't even meet anyone unless I really like their personality. You know, the picture has to spark a little bit of something, but I don't go for guys based on looks, like you said, anyways, because that never works out. But like, it's really about, you know, the other things. You could fall in love with somebody who's not really that attractive if you're so into their personality and you respect them and you, you know, you just can't not be with them. So there's a lot of other things that go to it, especially I think as you get older, you realize there are things that you have much different chemistry about than when you're in your 20s. I mean, in my opinion, you know,
for sure. For sure. So if you, I think that is, you nailed it in every way. Like that is everything that matters. And the consistency, I mean, if somebody ghosts you or kind of disappears and reappears, that's a red flag. I would, totally. I would, yeah, like don't even go near that, run.
Yeah. And I think it's hard for all these, you know, so many people that are online dating because they are in the place where they want, for the most part, they want a relationship. So they're really hopeful, right? And they kind of, you know, the boundaries aren't so great unless you really have been through it and you know what you're doing. But I do believe in online dating. It obviously works. I mean, you're a testament to that. Yeah. I wanted to go back to one thing that you were talking about with doing the IVF and getting pregnant. And what was that experience like for you briefly? Like how was it? Was it difficult? Was it easy?
IVF was actually a lot easier than I thought it would be. If you're a woman listening, please freeze your eggs. They don't improve over time. And there were a couple of things that I did not like. It is really expensive. I did get sticker shock when I went to the pharmacy and it was like $7,000. I just didn't know. So you can actually... First of all, there's ways that you can finance egg freezing now, and it's not as much as it used to be. And you should ask all the questions, like DM me if you're freezing your eggs. There are specific things that you should make sure. Like I got 14 days worth of medication and I only needed 10 days. So that's like one example of like why just ask the questions, send me a DM and I will help anybody going through it. But it's actually only like 10 days of your life. You stab yourself with a painless needle very superficially. And then after 10 or 14 days, you go in and they harvest your eggs, done. I would think ideally if you can get like 40 eggs, because they can thaw out and not be utilized. So eggs do not equal babies. Mm-hmm. And the part that was hard was once we wanted to thaw out an embryo and implant the embryo, that was hard because I was on so much progesterone to get my body ready for the transfer. You do take a lot of drugs to get your body ready so that it will hold and accept the transfer. That really like puts you through like a mental roller coaster. And I didn't know that what was happening to me mentally and physically. And it took a while to recover from that. Oh, a couple of years. But it doesn't mean I regret having a baby. It's just people should talk about shit more, you know, like, it's important because that's the game changer is when you know what to expect and people tell you, then it deflates all of the stress of what you're going through.
Yeah. Right. I'm curious what your thoughts are with all this talk with the political stuff with IVF and, you know, with the thought that it might potentially become illegal. You know, do you have any thoughts on that?
It's ridiculous to say that it should be illegal. I mean, especially in this day and age with AI. And I was even shocked when I knew that there were states that outlawed surrogacy. By the way, my husband's motility, okay, sperm motility, was the reason why men are 50% the reason why women don't get pregnant. It's not
right.
Just because
I think people forget that completely.
Yeah. Right. So I would be horrified if people could not have kids because of that. And I'm sure that in previous generations, we know like there was always like the aunt that didn't have kids, like the aunt and uncle that, you know, just had each other. And, you know, I'm sure that is also a great life to have. Mm-hmm. because certainly our life turned into mom and dad life once we had our kid. And I also do not think that people need more than one. I think one is plenty, you know?
Right. I agree. I have one and I have three dogs, and my friends that have more than one, I don't know how they do it because one is enough. Yeah. And I love her more than anything, but I just don't want a second.
And don't,
now I'm too old, but.
And don't you feel as though you can take her anywhere you want, because it could be just the two of you going to events or going anywhere, but with two, suddenly you can't like show up with two kids. You can go anywhere with one.
Yeah. The only reason I kind of wanted two for a while, cause it was like a built-in play date. And then I don't have to like find stuff to do with her only all the time. And I was an only child and I know how like boring that got, kind of, you know, but she gets a lot of things that kids that have siblings don't. Right. So, but yeah, I definitely think the more you have, it's like a lot to bring places. It's also really expensive, you know, like it's nice to be able to do really nice things with one kid. If you had three or four, forget it. It like tones it all down, you know?
So I'm an only child as well. I definitely thought I wanted to have 10 kids, and both of my parents have tons of siblings, but I will say it's not just a built-in play date. It's also bickering, fighting. It's a lot of chaos. And all of my friends and cousins say you can be at Disneyland and you just came back from the bathroom. You're at the front of the line to go on the ride and the other one is about to piss themselves. So it's all like an ongoing thing. So I'm good with having like this really meaningful relationship. By the way, let's not forget, you become Uber for children. You become Uber for your kids once they're just a little bit older. What are you doing? You're picking up, dropping off, and you just never are out of your car.
That's right. I'm starting to be at that stage now. Yeah. It's not that fun, but it's what we do because we love them. Right. So, all right. So when the show was over, I just want to get kind of past the show. There was supposedly a spinoff that you guys were filming, by the way. Whatever happened to that?
The three of us, Reza, Gigi, and I, we shot a sizzle reel. And I personally think that none of the executives really were impressed by what was captured. They've told me that what I would have to deductively reason is that the magic wasn't there with the three of us. I wouldn't be surprised if something, if an important element was missing, because Golnessa and I maybe were not genuinely close enough to be a threesome on a TV show. And I also think that my mom and Tommy and the rest of us, Mike, the rest of us are a really crucial element to that. So like right now they just revamped the Valley and you know, it's like, I'm so here to watch Jax and Brittany and Kristen, but there are new people that are going to create a new ensemble. So for me, the three of us didn't cut it, and that the things that they had us do, maybe, you know, maybe it was the matter of getting a different sizzle, or just the three of us weren't enough. For me, it makes sense, like, to have it, like, what I do, if I do another show, should be a little bit more involving what I do every day. That would be ideal.
Right. So I'm curious. Well, first of all, in saying that, did you show a lot of you being a real estate agent when you were on the show, or did you feel like you were doing the show because you were getting a paycheck and that was your job?
In the beginning, they would show of Shaw's, right? Or the sizzle. Sorry. Yeah. In Shaw's, they would show my real estate a lot more in the beginning. And as it tapered away, I got really mad. I was so frustrated that I wasn't able to include enough of my everyday life that it just changed my interest in the show. You know, like, you would just get so fuming mad because you would watch somebody's not so authentic career being pushed, you know, because it might make good TV. And then your stuff just feels left out, and that just didn't make it worth it. So,
you were still doing it just as much.
Well, actually, by the time I got pregnant, I took a solid 4-year break. If you can. Yes, because also there was this whole other element that we don't have to get into, but my dad got sick. Once my dad fell ill, there was my full-time job was being at the hospital, and it was St. John's. So are you in LA or Miami?
No, I'm in Florida. I'm in Palm Beach, actually.
Palm Beach. Okay. So, So his hospital, he was in Santa Monica. So basically my job was everything went on the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was the most important. Real estate took a backseat. Baby came in, and now I've been back and I've been with the agency for over a year, almost a year and a half. So, in the moments where it took a backseat, I would still do it. I always had my license, but it was just one of those things where you had to take a break and take care of your most important person in your life, who was my dad.
Of course, 100%. No, I understand that. And then just to go back for one second to what you're talking about with the show and the new sizzle reel, do you feel like, and you know, again, and we don't have to get into this with the whole reality reckoning thing, but do you feel like in these shows, they do better when there is that animosity and the table throwing and the screaming and the restraining orders? And that's what they were kind of looking for. And that's not what you guys essentially were in this new thing. Or do you think if people want to get into reality or stay in reality, they need to be doing these bad things? Or do you think that's not essential?
So I think for our show, the restraining order made it too dark. Tommy is a Queens guy. He's not someone that is going to come back from something that big. I don't think like what's going on with Jersey, way too dark, not beneficial to the viewers or for the people that are on it. I mean, I'm pretty good friends with a lot of those women, and none of them deserve to feel so compromised just to make good TV. You know, to me, it should be like, I also didn't like, nothing against Lisa Rinna, but the Rinna Richards stuff, way too dark. I mean, right. let's just fight over who lost the keys, you know, let's keep it really topical. And, with the reality reckoning, I mean, I do think that the reality people should form a union and have benefits, like sure, health insurance and similar things to what actors and get and having a guild. But I don't agree with what Leah McSweeney is doing. I don't think that she is, from what I'm seeing, I don't think that she is really a victim in that. So, and I also don't think that I'm not like team Brandy in what she's doing to Andy. I think that that while we should have some rights to dedicating such a lion's share of our time to make TV, it's a far cry from, you know, like, sure, we get exploited, but we are also participating in that. There would be, like one of the things I think you could benefit from is if, let's say, your network supported more what you do, like if they supported consistently the real estate, then it would just be kind of like a fair trade, you know, things to make it more authentic and more fair. I think there's plenty of room for that.
Right. And you said you weren't on team Brandy or team Leah. Is that also because you have your own relationship with Andy and you know him in a totally different light, or just from in general, you would just never go down that road because you think they're a participant, in what they're doing?
I think that Leah was a participant in what she was doing. And there's flashbacks of her telling everyone on Ultimate Girls Trip to like drink and get drunk because they were boring. Did you see that? It was like recently shared. Like I've met Leah. I've actually supported her when she put her book out. Brandy, an amazing girl, even though she's messy and all of those things. I have absolutely no issue with them. I am just saying very specifically, I disagree with the position they're taking. And it seems like for Brandy, it's like more of a cry for help or like a lashing out because, you know, she feels like she was wronged. So she's trying to take action to get, you know, maybe help her cause and further her cause. And I don't think that Andy it was being inappropriate in any way toward toward her in that text. So,
right. Okay. All right. So we don't have to talk about that more because it's my show isn't really about reality TV that much anyway. So, I know a lot of people do care about all that scandal and stuff, but I care more about you. So, okay. So I want to go now into the fact that you, are working with Mauricio, Umansky. Do you get any, interaction with him, or are you straight like dealing with reality and your own reality of your listings and stuff?
Oh my God. So yes, it's funny the amount of people that ask, do you actually ever get interaction with Mauricio? Yes, we do. He's around, he's at the meetings, he's in the office, he's a text away. And
so he's working as much as Kyle says he's never there because he's working.
He's working. Yes. He's really, truly building an amazing brand in addition to our other managing partners. So the Calabasas office is one of the places where I plant my flag. Beverly Hills is another place where I stop by regularly. Mm-hmm. And everyone that's part of the agency is amazing. It's like really doing business under the support of the top dogs who do it so well, classy and just consummate professional. Everything about the office environment, I can't say enough about.
Sorry, that's my dog. That's amazing. I love hearing that. But so I have a question, because now we have all these reality shows that are about real estate, especially in LA, right? So there's mm-hmm. Selling Sunset. There's what is theirs called? Buying Beverly Hills?
Yes. Buying Beverly yeah. Hills.
And then $1 million listing, right? So I happen to have dated somebody on $1 million listing. And we speak often still, a long time ago. And he was telling me that the women in Selling Sunset, that they are not real estate agents. Is that your experience?
So I have also, you know,
like, are you running into Emma in her little outfits at a showing and being like, shit?
You know what? I'm going to be honest. No, I am not. However, I will say LA is huge. It is a big place. What I think Selling Sunset Ladies did for real estate and the show is really bringing like body cutout Hervé Léger into the real estate market. So, you know, they definitely made their mark and mm-hmm. no one will ever forget. But I do agree with you. I think that the rumors might be true that most of them might not be full-time, high-producing realtors, but the Oppenheimers are, you know, yeah, they're right. They're legends, they're self-made, and that's really the real guys that, you know, are doing everything.
Right, for sure. And then, you know, Josh and Matt obviously have been doing this for a really long time and, you know, take pride in what they do for a very long time. So I know their whole group is legit as well, but I just wanted to know what your experience was. Do you know the Oppenheimer brothers? Is it Oppenheimer? Oppenheim brothers.
Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer. I hope I'm saying it right. I see one of them. He's not that friendly to me. But over the phone, when I have interacted, he's really professional and really responsive.
Okay.
So it's kind of like two different things. Like there was like a social setting where this was when he was with Trishelle. So I think he felt like maybe he was like on display. And yeah. So that might've been, we give benefit of the doubt. I don't care, but I'm also not attracted to cocky energy. So if I feel like somebody is giving that, then I'll just be like, oh, so sorry for you. And then I'll just, you know, hang out with somebody where we, you know, vibrate on the same.
Right. No, I get level. That. I feel like that's got to have a lot of cocky, that your line of work has a lot of cocky people in it. That would be a lot of, you know, energy that you have to navigate to find your people.
But Mauricio is not, and Emil Hartunian is not, Craig Nizek is not, Michelle Schwartz is not. There are so many amazing people at the agency where, like, if you come into our office, the signs say no assholes, like no ego. It's literally up there. So having an environment of having each other's back and being supportive truly exists.
Right. Okay. And then again, not that this is what my show is about, but people would be upset if I didn't ask you if you have an opinion on what's going on with Mauricio and Kyle.
Well, obviously 28 years of marriage is an incredible thing. Obviously they've created an incredible family, a beautiful legacy, and you can see that they're both really disappointed in what's happening and that they're both going through so much what's happening right now. Mm-hmm. Everyone just wants them to be happy. And it's a new chapter. The girls are older. So I think that they're both just so incredible. And everyone is always interested in seeing makeups and breakups, you know? So
yeah, people are definitely taking a lot of interest. You're right. But, you know, I think people do forget that this is reality for two people, you know, involved and their kids. And it's right. very hurtful. And it is, you know, it's a lot. People have an opinion on everyone else's life, and it definitely can take a toll. So regardless mm-hmm. of what the facts are, that, by the way, nobody is, you know, is entitled to hear the facts, you know, that all these people that have an opinion on it, they don't get to know the facts unless Mauricio and Kyle want to make that public. So it's a lot to listen to, right? All the chatter, and it must be weird being in the office. Or does that not even faze you guys there? Is that not even come through the door?
It doesn't even cross my mind. I mean, people ask about it all the time, but that's when I shift gears and I just think about the pain and the heartbreak that I would have if yeah. I were going through any breakup, regardless of one that is a marriage and involves kids. So, yeah. you know, I'm sure they'll make it. They're two extraordinary people.
Yes, right. And we wish them the best. Okay. Now I want to talk to you about what I really want to get to is Traitors.
Okay.
My daughter and I watched the whole thing. First of all, we didn't even know about Traitors last year. I don't know where we were. I don't know what happened. I don't know if this is like a mainstream thing that last year kind of came and went. And then, you know, all of a sudden, because it was more, you know, celebrities on that people started to take note. And then we all watched season one after the fact. But wait, did you feel like that? Or did you watch season one?
Exactly what you said.
Okay.
Not that many people saw the first season. However, it did get a lot of buzz. I do okay. remember, like, because I'm big on podcasts and I would hear people talking about Traitors. I was like, wow, I was really impressed by the buzz, considering that it was a lot of private civilians participating with, you know, the Bravo celebrities and the swimmer, the athlete guy.
Yeah, Matt. Ryan
Lochte. Yeah.
So, all right. How did they approach you? Did they come to you through Reza? Did you get it all on your own? What happened? Did you apply?
They sent an email. The offer came in email. It was very thorough. It told you literally everything that you can expect. It will include, like, if you are going to be part of the show, this is the outside date. So you can be gone for as long as, and it was just laid out. And I just opened the email. I read it. I took it in. And
so it didn't even come to your agent. It came to you.
That's right. It's the email that is listed on my social media.
Oh my God. Amazing.
So it's not even the email that the network execs have.
Right.
So, but I mean, let's not be foolish. I'm sure that they have an idea of who they're going to cast because it is under the Bravo NBC Universal umbrella, right? Peacock.
Right.
So when you do accept, then you have to go through very rigorous physical, mental, errands. Like you have to get vaccines and multiple 1200 question psych evals. So it really turned into a full-time, like a part-time job, a part-time like thing to get it all the boxes checked off.
So when you saw the email, were you like, oh my God, yes, I'm doing this. Did you pick up the phone and call Reza and be like, how was your experience? Should I go? Like, what did you think?
Well, I already knew his experience, so I did not pick up the phone and ask him that. He had already told me that he didn't like it. He was happy when he got released. Because it wasn't for him. When you get off the plane, you are walked into your quarters and they, with security, I mean, it's very civilized and awesome, but when they're done, they have taken everything off. Your meds will be given to you on a nightly basis. You can't hold on to anything. No phones, obviously. Your door has a peephole and you cannot see out of it. It is taped over. So you really have to be down to be sequestered and isolated for a really long time.
Okay, wait, I love this. So I want to know the logistics of how this works. So you know you're going to be there for 3 weeks or whatever it is, right?
You may,
right. But the longest would be around 3 weeks.
That's right. 3.5.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then just on a side note, if you get like Johnny Bananas or whatever the hell his name was, when he got out.
I love him. Yeah.
So when he got knocked out or whatever the first night, does he have to stay there and wait till it's over so that no one else knows that he came home soon enough, or they don't even know he's filming? So he was allowed to get on the next plane.
He was allowed to get on the next plane.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Got it.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and when you went there, did you know everyone who was going to be on the show already, or you had no idea?
No, we didn't know. They try to keep it really top secret. I was in the plane about to power off my phone. There was a leak on media that had Tamra, me, Sheena Shea, and like Sheree Whitfield. So there were like some names that were on this little grid in the Bravo blogs, but they were not accurate. They weren't totally right, but they were, it was definitely a bunch of unknown people because it was 22 people in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I had never watched Survivor, Challenge, or Big Brother. Mm-hmm. So, I didn't know anybody except for Larsa, Phaedra, Sheree, and Tamra and I more because we're in the same city. Mm-hmm. And the rest, we were just kind of like knew of each other and were fans of each other, but had never really bonded or hung out.
So was there someone you saw that you were like, oh my God, I'm so excited they're here, or intimidated of, or were like, that person sucks? Like, how'd you feel when you saw everybody?
I thought Larsa, I felt connected. Sheree, I felt connected without meeting Phaedra, same. Tamra, I felt like connected already. The rest were just brand new faces with nothing.
And were you, okay, so explain what it was like the first day when you could come out and you met everyone. Were you super nervous? Were you like, oh my God, this is so exciting? Like, what's everyone saying? What's the buzz?
Yeah, I thought people were going to be mean. And, you know, I was ready for people to be really abrasive. And it was really like we were all so new to this environment that I think we were all just feeling each other out evenly, you know, like it was a very slow, like taking each other in. And then there were these long shots, like they're shooting Alan, right? So we're all able to really check each other out, size up. Then they would finally break us up and let us have like a coffee or a break or whatever we would have, at which time you could little by little get to know each other. But they would tell you like the game begins the second that we were in the car. There were things that were already happening between the moment that we pulled up for the very first time in those Land Rovers. Mm-hmm. We were, let's say, like 4 people per car, and we had to wait. Somebody had to like go use the bathroom. And so there were already little problems like between like one car and another car. And like, you know, like, I don't know if they were kidding or not, but it was like, fuck you, or like, bitch. And I was like, oh my God, like it was getting scrappy. So it was really intimidating.
And sure. And you guys really slept in this castle?
Okay. So this is straight from the top. Okay.
Yeah.
The sleeping quarters can never be discussed.
Got it. Okay.
It is, but out of respect for the game, you've heard different things, rumblings of, you know, some accommodations that are not in the castle. Mm-hmm. But what they really did was they went above and beyond to maintain the secrecy. So this is the best part of this show, okay? After a banishment, we would all go to the bar. We were held like a pen. And one by one, we would be called out in 5-minute increments. And we would be sent away so that when the traitors were filming in the turret, we wouldn't have any way of knowing who it is, because they're not just going to say Dan and Phaedra are always going to go last. You know, they would mix it up. So we would be, they just did so much to make sure that we were never talking game. We were never commiserating outside of filming. And we always had some multiple producers with us.
Okay. Did you have a lot of downtime, or were you filming the whole time?
There is a lot of downtime between shots, driving, and, you know, like when we first got there, wardrobe will come and introduce themselves and say, okay, we'd like you to try on everything that we brought. You have a mood board to follow and pack for. Mm-hmm. And from meeting the execs, meeting the psychologists, meeting the, you know, the people that were, like, the whole first day was just people coming into your room and introducing them and welcoming you. So that was like a full day. We hadn't started filming yet. Then there was a swim test we had to take in a local community center, where we would have to make sure that we were capable of doing all those swimming activities in the lock. So there were a lot of logistics.
Mm-hmm. Was it freezing? Was the water freezing there?
It was cold. It was very cold. but thankfully we had scuba gear, you know, the wetsuits.
Okay. So wait, I was going to ask about the wardrobe and the glam, because obviously there's rumors. People are talking now about how Phaedra brought glam and no one else did, and how much time people spent in glam. And now you're bringing up wardrobe. I just assume they said, you know, pack, and people decided to pack their most fabulous outfits or whatever they wanted to. But now you're saying there's wardrobe. So what's the glam and the wardrobe situation?
So Phaedra, because she's a mortician, mm-hmm. she's a licensed cosmetologist.
Okay.
Okay. She knows how to do that. She didn't have glam. It was all her.
Wow.
And it was very impressive. I myself spent 2 hours getting ready, but I just didn't have, like, I just don't have the talent to make my hair look good. I can spend 2 hours, but at the end of the day, it doesn't translate to camera where you just look that polished. I think you have to put on a lot and know how to do it to really make it look amazing, like she obviously does. Wardrobe gives you a mood board to pack for. So, you know, there was a color theme. And then when they take photos of what you're wearing, that's when they will slip under your door the night before, like, this is what you're going to wear tomorrow. Or if it's a challenge day, then forget it. They're going to give you wetsuits and you're going to be in wetsuits all day.
Right. Okay. And then I have a whole theory, because again, I watched this intently. Tell me if I'm wrong, but I want to give you my theory to make myself feel better. I felt like they weren't really giving just one person an envelope to let them know that they were banished, because number one, they had different clothes on than what they were wearing sometimes during the day. And number two, like, wouldn't it be, how are the cameras already in there waiting for them at their chairs? And also, I thought it was weird in the morning how people would knock and walk into the dining room, almost acting like they didn't know they were going to walk into the dining room. So did all of you have to go into a room during breakfast, before breakfast, and find out if you were going to breakfast or if you were going into the room to get an envelope to say you've been banished? Am I right?
Absolutely.
What?
So every single night there was a banishment, or, right? So we just left the round table. Mm-hmm. We could have like a glass of wine, and then let's say Dan and Phaedra decided they were going to murder someone that night. Mm-hmm. No one would know. We would all go to sleep, get dressed in the morning, go through the exact same motions of somebody who is staying. Mm-hmm. We then, when they knock on your door and they're like, okay, it's time to go to breakfast. Great. You don't go into the breakfast room. They hold us in these smaller rooms. We're in the castle and we're hanging out with producers that are like, don't talk game. So it's like me and Bananas and Marcus Jordan and Larsa, like the four of us did actually bond a lot because we had a lot of that in the same room together, which is why we're so close now, which it's because one of us may be called down to breakfast or we might be called down to the room where we shoot that we received the letter.
Right.
And that is why we were so shocked. So now, let's say they'll call you and then you're like, am I getting called to murder or am I getting to breakfast?
Right.
As you're walking down, are you going to make a left or a right? Then when you go into the room, you don't know who the fuck you're going to see. You might be the first one. You might be the second one. Then you're sitting at breakfast and the anticipation is because who's coming, who's not coming. And the other layer is you're trying to catch reactions, because if you can catch somebody's reaction to who comes or doesn't come, then you're still working on trying to figure out who the traitors are, because they can have up to five. You never knew if there was one, two, three, or five traitors at any given time. So yeah, we're really trying, like, I don't know if I should be looking through who's coming through the door or if I should be looking at people in breakfast to see who's happy or sad or genuinely shocked or faking it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I love that. Okay. So how do you think production decided to pick the traitors? I mean, obviously Alan wasn't picking the traitors as he walked in a circle. And are they asking you beforehand if you want to be a faithful or a traitor?
They ask you, would you like to be a faithful or a traitor? So they're vetting you. I was playing coy. So I don't think I gave traitor at all. But I was like, well, I could be this or I could be that. I was trying not to get boxed in. So I was trying to say, well, you know, I could be really chill and that might make me a really good traitor. But they vet us by asking us and seeing how we answer. And I think they really go for the people that they think would be suitable as a traitor. And most people, it is really hard to be a traitor. So that's why I think that position is a harder position.
Right. Okay. All right. So you made it to the end. Obviously we've gone through the whole show because we're not doing any spoilers at this point. And I want to know what happened that night, because so many people are still in shock about, what happened. You made it all the way. First of all, did you ever think that you would make it to the last four, much less three?
That was what I was manifesting, you know? So it was shocking, but I was still really excited. Yes, I was. When I was in the coffin, I thought I was done.
Yeah.
So there were definitely a lot of moments where I was like, oh, this could be my last moment. But then, yeah, I mean, it was amazing. It felt incredible to have gone that far.
And I feel like you were really transparent with your facial expressions, because I could tell actually in the coffin that you thought you were done. And then that night, like, were you genuinely shocked when you didn't realize that it was over? You thought it was going to be the three of you, right? And then were you really shocked about the two of them, you know, picking, everybody picked something different, but like, did that shock you?
It really fucking pissed me off, and it shocked me more, because it was so evident that we were three faithfuls, and the right thing to do is to end the game. And just like Alan said, this is a game where you get the traitors out, and once you're just faithfuls, you split the pot and you go home.
Right. Right. So wait, what would have happened, by the way, if you guys kept picking somebody different? Like, would you guys had to have pled your case? Could you guys have said, okay, wait, we changed our mind, we want to just pick the three of us? Or like, how would that have worked out?
It would not have, that was not an option. So the only way we would have been able to leave, the three of us, would have been if everyone voted green.
At the beginning.
After we banished Kate.
Right. But then, at the point where the three of you were now talking and working it out, you couldn't say, okay, wait a minute, we've changed our mind.
Absolutely not. Nor did they want to.
Right.
Yeah. They had a plan.
Right. So that's what I was going to ask you, because Trishelle was just on Watch What Happens Live last night, and I think put you on blast a little bit about how, you know, you retweeted something and how you believe that they were in cahoots and maybe even romantic partners. Do you really believe that, or are you just pissed and wanted to kind of flame that fire?
No way. I would never think that they are together or romantic. I heard that she thought that. If there was ever a tweet that I liked or retweeted, then I didn't see the original tweet. Mm-hmm. I told her at the reunion, I was like, listen, these are my feelings. It's nothing personal. You know, we're good. It's just, I'm allowed to feel how I feel.
Right. Do you still have them blocked?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. They're going to stay blocked for a minute.
Okay. Yeah. Got it. That's, I get that.
She's married. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to suggest that there's a romance, nor do I believe that there is, nor did they give that. So
right.
I think
you
that
just thought they were in cahoots in terms of being teammates.
I think that for whatever reason, they decided to end the game that way. And I decided I was going to end the game my way. When we were at that point where it was evident that they were going to eliminate one of us, CT was begging her to vote for me, right? I could have asked her to, you know, to change his mind, right? I wasn't going to do that because I didn't want to fuck him over or her. Instead of me saying, wait, Trishelle, forget him. This time, thank you for voting CT. Vote for CT again, and we'll end it the way that you wanted to. I wasn't going to do that either. I was not going to end the game where I would go home and split the prize outing a faithful. That is me. That is my choice. The end.
And did you watch it just like us every Thursday? And were you shocked at how your vote was like the deciding factor in a lot of roundtables or whatever you call them?
Yeah, we watched it all the same way. Nobody got advanced screenings.
Were you shocked watching it back?
It was fun. It was fun to watch, you know, like it was like we lived it. Now we get to relive it. It was a very truncated version of what we experienced. Everything was so much longer in real life. So, you know, it was a good time for everyone.
Well, good. I'm glad your experience was different than Rez's. Who do you think would make a good trader next season in season 3?
Kenya Moore. Come on.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll ask people like Jeff Lewis, for example? I feel like he would be fun to watch on that show.
So Jeff said that he got the offer and had to turn it down because obviously he's doing radio 5 days a week and he has Monroe, so he can never be gone that long.
Right. Oh, that's a shame because he would have been great for television.
That's so true.
Yeah. And he would have actually been a great trader, I think. I think it would have been hard for him to be faithful, maybe.
I would want to see Joe Gorga in that arena.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. That's a good one. All right. What is next for you? Will we ever see you on TV again, do you think?
I would love to make a TV show that is built on married people, single people, working people like me, following my life and, you know, my network, which are just like, we hustle, we struggle, we have fun, you know, we work hard, we laugh as much as possible. It's just, to me, it has to be in line with what I'm really doing.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And we can get messy. We could still get messy, you know?
Well, that's part of life. I mean, you know, you could be a hustler, you can be doing all the right things, but it does get difficult. There are ups and downs, for sure. And then are you doing something, like I see you a lot on Jeff Lewis. So are you now working with him or like a contributor on a consistent basis?
Yes. So I guest host on his show on Radio Andy. It's Jeff Lewis Live. And I also am working on a house with him that was in Hollywood House Lift. So people saw me on that show as well. And, you know, for me, and I have my podcast, by the way, I always forget to promote what I'm doing, which is obviously so important as well. My husband and I have my podcast with my husband is Till the Dirt with Tommy and MJ. It drops every Monday. And so between being a full-time mom, a full-time worker, a full-time realtor, a full-time mom, and the radio hosting and the podcast, I mean, we're busy.
You know, we don't life. Yeah.
Yes. We actually don't have a nanny. We do everything together. And, you know, my husband and I just balance having our son and, you know, the responsibilities that are, and I'm sure you know as well, like it's crazy every day.
Yeah. It's a lot, but it's kind of like you wouldn't change it for anything else. I mean, I like being really busy. You know what I mean?
Same.
And do you have like, what can people come to you for like exclusives? Can people come to you to help, you know, what is, how often are you really doing the real estate thing? Like, has that helped you or hurt you or?
Yeah, I'm a full-time, always working every single day. And it's, yes, people can definitely come to me for anything residential real estate. It's been, yeah. So despite the break that I took back then, I have been all the way back in both feet in. And that's why I'm like always bragging about it because I'm really passionate. It's when I'm not working in that, I'm not really all of me. You know, it's like you can't just be a mom or be, you know, you everything that makes you who you are. For me, being a residential real estate in LA, it's like, it's just part of who I am.
Right. I could talk to you for hours. I have so many questions about so many things, but now that I have your cell phone number, I'm going to be texting you with all my questions, but I want to let you go.
You're
I know
welcome
you're busy.
To.
And I just want to, my last question for you is what is on your bucket list? Is there something that you really are dying to do coming up?
Bucket list. Honestly, that's a really good question. I would love just to hang out more. You know, I mean, I don't begrudge anything, but there couldn't be enough hours in the day.
Yeah.
So let's make hanging out and doing more pool days, like poolside leisure, the fun thing.
Yeah. But, getting to experience what's going on as opposed to doing all the different things and missing out on what's in front of you for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. What's on your bucket list?
Oh my God, I have so many things, but I actually agree that that's a really good one because I don't experience kind of what I'm doing a lot because I'm too busy rushing around with my daughter or rushing around to hustle to research something or, you know, and I don't like, it's actually, I love doing my podcast because I get this hour with someone where I get to know them really well, but I almost
that's
wish
right.
that I took it to the next level and then, you know, got, I mean, a lot of people I've developed really good friendships with and I stay in touch, but like, I never get to see them because I'm in Palm Beach, they're in LA or wherever, but it would be nice to, you know, it's hard at our at any age to make really good friends. And I feel like when you really understand someone, when you take the time to get to know them, they're so much different than what you read about. And I like getting to know someone and I like getting someone to know me, you know, I like feeling known and understood. So I appreciate you. Where can people find you if they want to reach out to you?
I am at Mercedes Javid on all platforms, the Till the Dirt podcast, as well on Instagram, Twitter. And I have to say, I totally agree with you. That is why if you had a brain map of me, it would be relationships, connecting with women to the end. That is everything for me,
yeah.
You know? So this of what we're doing right now is what it's all about.
I agree. Thank you so much, Mercedes, for taking the time. I really appreciate it. And good luck to you. I wish you the best in everything you do.
Yeah. Text me late night.
I will.
Text me anytime. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Misunderstood.